2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Alex Carey. He is Scott Mitchell. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Monday. Yeah, we got Monday Night Football in front of us here. The Jets and the Browns. That's a big one, I guess, if you're into that sort of thing. Not the matchup I'm looking for, but, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., et cetera, and then the hapless Jets. So there you go. Scott, how you doing, buddy? Did you have a pretty good weekend there?
I had an amazing weekend.
Yeah, you did.
Watched the Utes very efficiently win their game.
Oh.
Very impressive.
And, okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, Sunday's a day of rest.
Yeah.
So yeah. A lot of resting.
So you rested
on.
While you watched more football. It's perfect. All right. Well, let's jump into it here. We've got a lot to get through. These are our favorite shows. After a big weekend of college football here locally, after the NFL, all these things that are going on right now in our sports world, we're going to bring you right now the thing that's at the top of our mind on the 705 Cut. Let's do it.
The Cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
When I think about this weekend, of course, BYU with the big overtime win was
huge win.
Huge for BYU. Utah with a handily beating the Idaho State Bengals efficiently, as you put it, Scott. I think when I looked up at one point, Tyler Huntley was 4 for 4 for 162 yards and 2 touchdowns. Not bad for 4 passes in the game. But let's start first with what happened down in Provo and what probably is, maybe you disagree, Scott, but I think is the signature win for Kalani Sitake in the era of him being the head coach at BYU.
Slovis in the gun. He claps the hands, takes a chest high snap. He will throw quickly, batted up and intercepted. Did they get it? If they got it, it's over. It's over. The Cougars picked it off. And in overtime, they won it.
You're Riley Nelson in the back, putting duct tape around his mouth to not totally ruin the call there for Greg. And you know, pens getting thrown around, papers getting thrown up in the air. And I'll tell you, the stadium was as fun of an atmosphere as BYU has seen in a long time. Boy, have they needed it, Scott, because it's a thing that they haven't had, which is like this fan involvement at these home games for BYU. Even when big names were coming into town, even with Utah coming in for that rivalry game, it was such a dud of a rivalry game on the BYU side.
Yeah, it really was.
And you had the delay that was in there. No one was in the stadium by the time it was the end of the game.
I just remember, I'm just glad this game was over.
I think a lot of people felt that way.
A lot of hype built up to this. The thing that got me the most about this win, and it was big for BYU, and everyone can make all the excuses they want. Okay, they can say, well, you know, had he not thrown 3 interceptions, thing is BYU made him throw the interceptions.
Right.
And guess what else they did? When they had the opportunity to make the interceptions, they made them. Like, they got turnovers in that game, and that's huge. That's what you do against good football teams. I'm just really impressed with how winning at Tennessee, I really believe it's one of those things that's like it's a turning point. It's in your mind. You go, how good are we really? And to beat a Power 5 team, to beat an SEC team at home in one of the premier environments in all of college football.
And we looked at that like it was, well, they got the win in double overtime.
Tennessee's terrible.
And Tennessee's bad.
All these things.
And they didn't look good for those four quarters.
No, they didn't. But when that
was very different this week.
When that last throw against Zach Wilson, In the regulation where he hit Micah Simon. I'm going to say Mika Tafua. He's a different player on a different,
team.
Micah Simon down the side. And he couldn't make that catch either, by the way. Micah Simon down the sideline. What a huge – I mean, it was just – it was like things changed for Zach Wilson in an instant.
Does that really make a –
it like, makes a huge difference.
Because Tennessee, everybody knows that it was a very different team. They're not a USC. But playing at their place and not playing very well for four quarters and then kind of just barely getting to overtime and then winning in overtime, can you suddenly be a better football team after an experience like
that? You can because you can see to yourself, okay, we know how to win now. I'm just telling you, it's to actually do it. I remember the moment when I got to play in the NFL and I would go, oh, I belong here. It changed everything for me because then it's like, yeah, I belong here. And then you go, and I can win here, and I can succeed here. And I think for a young quarterback like Zach Wilson, as much confidence as he exudes, there still has to be some confidence that to be accomplished. And winning that game and then coming back again and doing it against USC at home, it's huge for him. It's huge for this team. That you get a sense that they certainly believe in themselves now. Now the real test for BYU is how do you answer this after you've now had a bit of success? And how does that play over? Because Washington, they don't care. They're going to come and play tough, and everything you did in the past does not matter. How can you get yourself ready to do this all over again this next week?
And this is the Pac-12 champion, Washington Huskies. I don't care what you say about whether or not they're any better. I mean, that they're a worse team than they were than they were last year and the year before.
They're beatable, though.
And that's the thing is that a lot of people look and they go, well, but why not? I mean, they've opened up as 6-point underdogs to Washington at home this weekend. But again, you're in your environment. Jacob Eason has not been out of his home environment yet this season. Yep. And one of those times at home, he lost to Cal already and made some big mistakes and had a bad day that day. So can they force a guy like that to have the type of day that Keaton Slovis did? Now,
Washington hasn't played a good team yet.
They really haven't.
Cal
and like
not...
I said, haven't left home yet.
No.
And that's a big deal. So here's my question then for you, Scott. USC loses to the Cougars this past weekend. They have the Utes this Friday. Very convenient for our talk's sake, right? But would you have preferred is this the worst case scenario? Why is this the worst case scenario?
It's very
simple. Because I think I think Utah watched film, yesterday and today, and they're just licking their chops and going, if BYU's defense gets three picks against Keaton Slovis, we're going to have six.
That's not how. They don't look at it that way.
No, but they look at it like they could get this guy, right?
No, they look at it like, we don't need a team to be any more motivated than they already are. When teams are embarrassed, when they have a loss like that, there's this great amount of energy and effort into we have to bounce back. Think of Zach Wilson going into the Tennessee game. It played terrible. We got to figure out how do we bounce back from this? How do we find a way to win? And they're, for whatever reason, human nature, I don't know. But teams, after they've lost, just have a greater sense or willingness to focus on those little things to make sure that they're ready to play and that they have a great game. When we win, we get complacent. It's harder. It's so much harder to win after you've been winning. And when you have a young freshman quarterback, you want him overconfident. You want him to think that he's arrived. You want him to think that, man, I'm invincible in this moment, because that's when you have him. Because he'll get complacent in his practice habits, in his preparation for the game. Now, so you don't want to see that if you're Utah. You don't want – look, I believe Utah is a better team than USC. I believe Utah could not – I could not have scripted better – for how things played out.
But Clay Helton isn't just fighting for his job now. It's like he's beyond. You lose to BYU, and you were 2-0, and now you're out of the top 25, and now you're playing Utah at home. He's looking at it like he's already kind of packing some things in boxes, going, if I don't figure this out.
That's the good part of this, actually, for Utah.
Why?
Because the amount of pressure that was on him before the season was like level 10.
Right.
Right.
And now it's 100.
And now losing to BYU, like, beyond unacceptable. It's unacceptable if you're USC. It just, there's no way you get over that. So every missed pass, every penalty, every score by the other team, it exacerbates the whole situation. It makes it just like it is like, you know how they have this red level of fire danger? You know, it's
this
like,
is the extreme. Yeah, that one be, where the arrow goes all the way past.
It's like a purple. Yeah, it's so
the sign breaks because the arrow is so far over.
Any little spark will literally ignite this massive fire at USC. I mean, he could potentially not end the season.
Let's take our first break here right now. When we come back, we've got a couple of quotes to hear from Kalani Sitake and Kyle Whittingham, both having their press conferences today. Hear from both of them. We're going to talk a little bit more about what this BYU team has done. What do we know after week two? Because we think, or after week three, we think we know everything, right? After a couple of weeks into the season, we'll tell you what you really do know about these Utes and about these Cougars. More to go. It's KSL's Unrivaled right here on KSL News Radio. Stay with us.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.